And good evening. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show here. And we're with you every night, Monday through Friday here, the Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Henry Radio and, you know, just all of the people that are with us. What is all of that, man? These are friends, bud?
Yeah, it's boss to a flame.
That's pretty cool. That's perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. No more of the blues. I like the blues when I'm sitting home and when I'm relaxing around a, if you'll pardon the expression, cocktail. But for bumper music, I want that. I want the voice of Satan, and I want it now. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, welcome back to the program here. And again, we're online at philhenryshow.com, where there's a live streaming video cast of our show right now. If you want to watch how we do this, which may not be something you want to see, but if you'd like to, you can join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You see not only our video cast, you get the video cast archives, you get the daily podcast of the show. You can actually listen to the show if you want by way of the video cast. And also, we have the archives of our audio casts, of our radio show, to be specific, and a bunch of other stuff there at philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, and he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight, discussing with us something having to do with his daughter's school. Now, the school is C.K. Corona Middle School. It is a public school, but it is a one of these magnet schools, I guess, for higher achieving kids and children with good grades and with perhaps a higher potential, so that they sort of move all of these kids together. And maybe that means a bit more of a fast track for them. Steve is joining us from his home in Corona. I understand you just got off work, sir.
Yes, sir. Just a few minutes ago.
Tell me the genesis. You've had problems with this school before. I know that.
Yes, sir, I have.
Tell me about the problem. And who is the headmistress there?
The head mistress is Erica Dorton, D-O-R-T-O-N, and she has engaged in some things that we've found objectionable, and not to mention what we feel is the controlling nature, I think, of the school over the mind, of the very mind and you know, body and everything of the children. I'm a little bit nervous, sir, so you'll forgive me.
No, you're doing fine. Now, this all started, the most recent problem, because you've had problems with the school calling your home and so forth.
Yes, sir. They have called repeatedly, late at night, especially when we're asleep. I'll get phone calls from Mrs. Dorton or Ms. Dorton. We're not even clear as to the marital status of this woman, because she is at a very elevated position with the school, and it's very rare that you actually have any contact with her. Most of the contact that the parents have with the school is with the administration people below her, vice principal, and so on and so forth.
All right, tell me about the most recent problem, and I'm sorry to hear this. This should not be at a public school. Tell me about the most recent situation.
Well, the most recent situation is it's impersonal. I mean, it is personal to my home. My wife's parents are divorcing for the first time. Well, excuse me for saying it. They're divorcing after 43 years of marriage.
Right, so this is not their second time they're divorcing.
No, sir, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
No, that's all right.
They're divorcing and after 43 years. And my wife told me that the genesis of this was a very highly personal matter, but it was instigated by her mother against her father, that she was the one who filed for the divorce. And I asked why, and she said it was highly personal. So it's nothing that I want to broadcast on the show, if you understand.
No, I was told by my producer, Bud Dickman, and others, that you wanted to keep this confidential. But there's a reason why she's filed for divorce. Does it? And I was told that, yeah, not to mention anything? Okay, I'm told that...
If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Andy, because we don't...
She didn't want to have anybody know.
I just would rather not have anyone know of what it was about. But I can tell you that I advised my wife just in conversation at the breakfast table and what have you, that I thought it was a bad idea and that they should stay together. And I gave my reasons for that. And my daughter overheard the conversation, and she took it to the school.
Now, here's where the problem begins. Not so much with the conversation you're having with your wife or the reasons for the divorce between your father and mother-in-law, but it's when the daughter takes this conversation, this family conversation, to the school, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And this has happened before.
Yes, it has. And it's happened before, and I found myself at odds with it, and then I find myself coming around to their way of thinking. And probably at least a half a dozen times I found myself agreeing to very objectionable things. And I've tried to look inside myself and inside my heart and my mind to find out why I'd go along with something that's so wrong. And I always come back to the same thing, that, you know, I want the best for my daughter. My wife does, too. We think she's in a good school. We think academically it's a good school. But to keep her there, we have to go through, I think we have to go through, if you will, a gauntlet that we think is unacceptable.
Now, you just said something very interesting there. You said that you find yourself at odds with the administration, but then you come around to their way of thinking, and you don't quite know how that happens?
Well, I do. I mean, it makes sense at the time. To give you an example, I had a problem with some policy of the American administration under President Obama. There was some international situation. My daughter went to the school and reported this to the school, and the school had called me and asked me why I felt the way I did. And I said, I don't really know how that's any business of yours.
I want to be clear. The school brought you in to talk to you about an opinion you had on President Obama?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they were concerned, they said, as to what might be taught to my daughter because it goes against what they're teaching. And I was called into the school. I was told to report to a Mrs. Gladington, which is the sixth grade class that my daughter is in, and I was told to stand in front of the class. And at that time, I was questioned by the students as to my opinions.
Well, this is something out of the Khmer Rouge. You know what I mean?
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, the Cambodian, the revolutionary government of Cambodia in the 70s used to have the children inform on their parents. It was a very frightening time. It was a dark ages, and this has a little bit of a ring to it that's similar.
It's only insofar as they want me to explain why we have opinions that may go against what the teachers are teaching, and I've stood there, and I stood there, and I tried to withstand it as much as I could, but I couldn't take it anymore.
Couldn't take any... What couldn't you take, sir?
The questioning by the students, one child in particular, a young Bradley Shamir is his name. This boy is 11 years old, going on... I mean, he's going on 51 or 2 or something. He questioned me and questioned me. He drilled in and drilled in. And I was feeling weak. I had to sit down.
Are you telling me an 11-year-old kid was interrogating you?
That's what it felt like. It felt like, yes, sir. And so I answered the best way I knew how.
And what was this was all about some Obama thing that you can't remember?
I don't remember it now. All I know is that I was questioned and questioned. That night I got a call from Mrs. Dorton. One of the few times I've ever spoken to her, I didn't really even speak to her. She spoke to me, and you can't even say she was speaking so much as she was simply making her presence felt. And,
All right, so this is the situation. Hold the line for a second, Steve. This is the situation that we encounter here this evening as we open up the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and that is Mr. Bozell of Corona, California, a daughter going to a middle school there that is interested in the opinions being expressed at the home in case they go contrary to what they feel is good good information, good parenting. And this man has been called to the school before and interrogated by his daughter's class on why these things are expressed. Now, there's a problem at home having to do with, it's not even a problem, but his father and mother-in-law are being divorced, and there was an opinion expressed at home. That's made its way now to the school, and another problem has ensued. We're going to get back here to the conversation with our guest here, Steve Bozell, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com with a video cast right now of this here show. And, of course, every night after the show, we've got a show log up for you. Back with Stephen Bozell and more. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. And Stephen Bozell joining us from Corona, California. The man is a father, he's a husband, he is a construction contractor, and he's also a guy with a girl in a school, CK Corona Middle School, that he feels is, he thinks the school is not the doing the right thing by his daughter. But this has got more to do also with the conversations that are being reported back and forth between the school and your home by your daughter, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they use my daughter. They use all the kids at the school to find out what's being said at home. And
the school to find out what's being said at home?
Yes, sir. And when April is my wife and told me that her parents were going to get a divorce, and they've been married 43 years. And I told you there was a reason for this that we'd rather they not talk about. And I expressed the opinion, well, I don't think they should get divorced. 43 years is a long time. Even though what happened was something that April's mother felt she wanted to file a divorce on. My daughter went to the school and reported that I had expressed this opinion. I had to go down to the school again.
Why do you go to the school? Why not say no?
Well, if you say no, then your child is put on what is called temporary status. That is a temporary review status where they want to come in and do a parent-teacher review. And that means you got to go in and sit down and possibly meet with Dorton. And that prospect is frightening.
Sir, every time you mention this woman, Erica Dorton, there's this fear that you have, and I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me like there's some intimidation going on here.
Yes, I want to say something. This is Margaret Gray, Mr. Bozell.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems like the intimidation that is happening here is at the very highest level. You said there are late-night calls, and I'm wondering why you've not reported this to the district, the school district.
At the school district, when I went to the school district and I said that this woman was calling up, late at night, after we had, after I'd been down there to the school and I talked to the people, I was told to talk to the students and I was told to stand there and, you know, basically keep my mouth shut. I mean, nobody said keep your mouth shut, but I was told to stand there and keep my mouth shut and just listen. And
you were told to stand there and keep your mouth shut and listen. So, yeah, you were told to keep your mouth shut.
No, I wasn't. I mean, not in so many words, but they just said, listen to the students as they will then tell you. And I did that, and I tried to do what I was told. And then late at night, what they do is they call in with these, they will call in with just a phone call, and I can't hear anything. I don't know what's being said. I don't know what's not being said. And that's what's intimidating about it.
Wait a minute. How do you know the school? You're listening to something that's coming in, and you can't really tell what it is. Is that correct? You don't know who it is. It's just something that's coming in on the other end of the phone. Correct? Did we lose the man?
This is a tape recording.
Oh, hold on. It's on the screen. Mr. Henry, I played that. That's how I was setting up the tape.
What was that?
That was the tape.
That was the tape of whoever calls your home.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
All right, so what I heard there was someone breathing into the phone.
Yes, sir, that's who we feel is Ms. Dorton. I can play it again for you if you want.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
April 22. Hi. That was the second of two, right? Okay, that's the second of two.
How do you know that's Erica Dorton? What I heard was a tape of someone going, oh, yeah.
Well, they're breathing into it. It happens every time that I am called to the school and I'm told to go down and talk to Bradley Sugarman. And
who's Bradley Sugarman?
That's the young boy who's in my daughter's class. What, honey? My daughters tell me Bradley Sugarman is one of the brightest kids that she's ever seen. I don't know what that means.
Bradley Sugarman, and this is a kid that's in her class.
Yes. My daughter asked if you would not refer to him as a kid. Just say you could say Bradley Sugarman or Mr. Sugarman.
I don't think we're at a place right now where we're going to be calling anyone by any Mr. or Mrs. He's a kid.
Well, that's fine, Miss Gray. I'm just telling you what my daughter said.
Well, I don't care what your daughter said. Tell your daughter that for me. I don't care what she said.
Honey, she heard you.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Tell your daughter to leave there. I don't like the intimidation factor of that, okay?
I mean, she's a little tiny kid, but yeah.
I'm not going to be intimidated by some child.
All right, we're talking with Steve Bozell from Corona, California, on the school that his daughter attends, on what do we got now, bud?
Just received a phone call from April Jr.
Okay, was that, honey, were you on the phone to the radio station?
And she stated that, well, here.
Did you write this down? Why do you do that in crayon?
Because that's what I have.
Get him a felt pen, will you, Robert?
I'll give him a felt pen he don't want to use. Use a crayon. That's the only thing there is.
Give me that. The Mr. and Mrs. Bozell's parents, Roger and Jeanette Goodwin, divorcing after 43 years because of the father's, well, it's right here, and apparently your daughter called it in.
Hold on for a minute. Honey, did you call that in? Oh, great. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mom.
Apparently they're divorcing because the father was engaged in extramarital sexual encounters with prostitutes, some of whom were men, and this was at a particular location raided by police. These individuals, the Mr. and Mrs. Bozell from Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yes, sir. God.
Okay, so what we have here then is this was private information, I understand, but in the public interest, I have to, and if I get this information, and it is a public interest, which it is, I am almost duty-bound to announce it. Do you understand?
No, sir, I don't. But I don't blame you because my daughter did it. And,
So your mother and father-in-law are getting divorced because your father-in-law was involved with prostitutes, some of whom might have been men, at a location in Knoxville, Tennessee that had since been raided by police? Was he arrested?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm going to ask you questions. I don't know. You might as well answer them.
Mr. Bozell, I don't think there's any reason now to keep anything under wraps. Your daughter violated that trust. It doesn't surprise me. Nonetheless, Phil is right. This is in the public interest.
Well, in the public interest of who? I got a wife that I'm going to have to deal with. Now I got a school I got to deal with. I got it coming at me from all sides. And as I had mentioned on your program, Mr. Henry, a number of years ago, even a little wad of mayonnaise on my chin got my wife talking up and down the block and talking all over town about how I took one off the chin. And now, if I...
I don't understand that.
Never mind about you taking one off the chin, okay?
But what I'm trying to say is now, with my daughter reporting this, the fact that the school is going to call me on the carpet, the fact that my wife is now going to be upset with me because this information has been made public... This is the equivalent of me sitting up after somebody has said cut, and I got a towel on my face.
Okay, some of these references that you make to you've been on the show before talking about toweling off. Now you got a father-in-law that's been arrested for frequenting some sort of a house of ill repute or prostitution in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, and this is the cause of a divorce or a pending divorce between your father and mother-in-law, and you don't want any of this. Now, who are you protecting? That's what I'd like to know. Why are you protecting these people?
Because I told my wife that after 43 years of marriage, why would they be getting a divorce? And she said to me that, her father was caught with a man. Her father was caught with a man. I didn't want to say it, but there, okay, I've said it. God.
Okay, so what? So then what?
They're getting a divorce.
Well, sounds good to me.
If I were that woman, I would divorce the man, yes.
Well, my opinion was that it was wrong to do because of the marriage, what had been happening 43 years. And
get a glass of water and calm down, okay?
I got to just...
Get a glass of water and calm down. Calm him down, will you, bud?
What's that mean?
Just calm him down.
Yeah, man, give him a shoulder rub, man.
Shut up!
Okay, take it easy. Didn't say give him a shoulder rub, just calm the guy down. Mr. Stephen Bozell, Mr. Bozell is a gentleman whose parents, his father and mother-in-law, I should say, are getting a divorce as a result of his father-in-law's indiscretions, this activity that he's had with prostitutes, one of whom a male prostitute, whatever. But the fact is, the divorce It became news at the school. He was called to the school to answer for, you know, his opinion that they should stay married. I think that was it, right?
Yeah, I think the real crux of this is Mr. Bozell's opinion that they should stay married, that this is no reason for a woman to divorce a man, which, of course, is patently absurd, and it makes me angry. Forget it.
All right, well, we'll be right back with more here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445.
Is my mic still on? I want to say something. Is the mic turned off yet, bud?
Yeah, it's on.
Tell that ass that if I see him go through my purse one more time and pull out my...
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us, Stephen Bozell, Mr. Bozell from Corona, California. We're also going to bring on, in a moment, Frank Gray, who is an entertainment attorney. And, Margaret, you tell me with a story to tell.
Frank has a story to tell. I don't know that this is the venue, but you asked me, and so I got on the phone, and he was willing to tell that story.
All right, getting back here to Mr. Bozell. The story is, and by the way, our folks, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 is our number. If you care to comment on there's a lot going on, but first of all, you don't think that these people should be divorced because of this indiscretion. It's just far more than that.
Look, I know it's far more than an indiscretion, Mr. Henry. I know that the man had sexual relations with prostitutes. There was one. I don't think the fact he had sex with a man. It's just that, you know.
Don't you think that would affect the future of the marriage if he's gay?
No, I don't think he's gay. I think it was a transsexual situation.
Well, that does change. I think that changes the complexion of this.
You mean like if somebody has pimples?
Would you ask him?
Bud, shut up, okay?
I just asked.
No, not pimples. The complexion of the topic.
The complexion of the topic, yeah.
But my thought was to say to my wife, I don't think they should divorce on account of that. 43 years. Understand, that's a long time. She's going to throw this man out in the street. She's going to take a man she's been married to for 43 years and pitch him into the gutter. I was sticking up for her father, and I was sticking up for the marriage of her parents. They're not my parents. They're her parents, but they are my father and mother-in-law, and I do admire them greatly for the 43 years they put in. He got frustrated. He went out, and he went ahead and tagged up, and that was the term I used. That's what got her angry in the first place, and that's why my daughter reported it.
What did you say?
I said that he tagged third base and bolted for home.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, that's a term that we use in construction all the time about guys that go out with a male escort service who are married. I thought you'd heard that.
I've never heard that term. I know it's a baseball term. I had no idea.
This is a term that has to do with men that cheat on their wives?
No, it's a specific term. Mr. Henry, it's pretty common. When you tag third and head for home, you're tagging up.
What's that got to do with a male prostitute?
That's what we say.
I've never heard that term before in my life. Frank Gray is on the line with us. He is the husband of Margaret Gray, who is one of our panelists this evening. And Frank is joining us. He is an entertainment attorney in Santa Monica. Frank, how are you?
Man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
Good, good. Frank, I know this is very delicate. We have Mr. Bozell on the line with us.
All right, Mr. Bozell, how are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
What can I do for you?
Frank, Margaret said you'd have no problem talking about this... Jerry Zeno?
Oh, Jerry's...
Well, Frank, you said that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Jerry Zeno was a man that I had a relationship with when he played hockey for the Tacoma Comets. This was a Western Hockey League team. And I was doing some agent work for some of the minor league players. That this before I went into the management? In the management, yeah. But she was a player for the Tacoma Comets.
All right, now I got to tell my audience that Mr. Gray suffers from gender confusion.
Would you repeat that, please?
No, nothing.
I don't want you talking behind. You're already bringing up the fact that I had a relationship with a male, someone who played, she played hockey, so she was very manly. God, Margaret, if you had anything to do with this.
Frank, you said you had no problem talking about this.
I had no problem talking about when I have a couple of drinks in me. At least you could have called ahead and said, and I would have sent Umberto out, and she could have gotten a bottle of Dewars.
All right, I don't want to have a family argument here, Frank. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it.
Well, it's too late now. He said he told you about it, didn't he?
Who?
Who? My wife, Margaret. He's the one that spilled the beans.
No, you're the one that told me about this.
Yes, between a man and a woman. All right? When she tells her wife, okay, and he promises his husband not to say anything, that's what happened in our marriage, Phil.
Say that again?
Yeah, repeat that again, Frank.
Don't piss me off.
Nobody's trying to piss you off. I just want to know what happened here.
Well, why? For the salaciousness of everything? I'm married to Margaret, okay? And he promised me when we got married, for better or for worse, and it doesn't get much worse, that when he finds out that I was sleeping with a guy, and I'm not even gay, it just was something I did to get the contract to represent her in her negotiations with the National Hockey League.
So you slept with a guy in order to get this guy's name on the dotted line to represent him?
That's it. There you go. That's the baby. I knew you could do it. Okay, put two and two together. What's it make? I'll tell you what it makes. On any given day in any interplanetary system that you want to... the number's four is what I'm getting at.
All right, so what are we talking about here?
Yeah, thank you very much. That's what I want to know.
All right, hold on, Frank. What are we talking about?
What we're talking about, Phil, is Frank. I married him anyway, so I do see Mr. Basel's point of view on this.
Well, my name is Bozell, if you don't mind. You know,
all right, Mr. What is it again?
My name is Bozell.
Okay, who are speaking now? Is this my wife or is this Basel?
Sir, my name is Stephen Bozell.
Forgive me. You're not my wife, though, are you?
No, sir.
Why would you ask that?
I am so discombobulated and put out and PO'd that I could...
Frank, all I ask is all I've ever asked. When you get home tonight and you get angry enough, don't hit me in the face. You know I've got a photo shoot tomorrow.
Come on, will you? Don't talk that way.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, he's only kidding. I get home, and you know who's more likely to take one off the chin? Me. And not from any punch, either. He's more likely to have a penis than me. That's how I'm how emasculated...
How dare you say something like that?
Well, I feel emasculated, you telling everyone that I slept with her. She was a fine young man, and...
Well, did you or didn't you?
Yes, I did, but I told you why I did. Okay?
All right, sir, so you slept with a hockey player to get the name on the dotted line, and all I'm saying is that Mrs. Goodwin, who is my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, Mr. Goodwin, he slept with a man and a bunch of women because, well, I guess... It is different because he, you know.
Well, he was getting his cookies. I'll tell you what he was doing. He was getting his cookies, letting her go out and do those things.
What?
I'm saying your mother-in-law was getting his cookies, letting your father-in-law, letting her go out and do those things. I bet you anything that your mother-in-law, he knew everything was going on with your father-in-law.
Yeah, but my father-in-law is a he.
That's what I said. She's going out and sleeping around.
I don't understand.
All right, hold on for a minute. What we have here is an agreement between you and Margaret, Frank, that Margaret understood, and it's all good. Your marriage is fine.
Oh, yeah, my marriage is fine, but he told you that I'd slept, you know, with a guy. And even she didn't say anything about it.
Who?
The guy I slept, boy. I'm going to... If it was legal to take a man and to throw him off a pier... In a car, in the trunk of a car, I think about it. That's how I'm...
Are you referring to me?
Maybe. I'm so put out by it.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll let you go, Frank, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
boy, I had no idea that what was happening there was quite so...
Well, Frank, as you know, as the audience should know, suffers from something called gender confusion. This is the result of an untreated sexually transmitted disease, one that he acquired before he married me, and one, thank God, knock wood, I have not acquired. But because of the gender confusion and his advanced years, he makes about as much sense as, he makes about as much sense as he makes, which is no sense at all.
All right, well, that's fine. But after all of that, I'm not sure there was a connection necessarily. Steve, did you see what he was saying?
I think what he's trying to say and what Ms. Gray was saying was, it ain't no thing, you know? And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, so you saw that as a backing up your point of view.
Yeah, backing up my point of view, because I don't think there's anything wrong with her, with him. Not, now I'm confused. I'm trying to remember the gender of my mother-in-law.
The gender of your mother...
What is wrong with you?
Because that man was on saying the gender of your wife, not your wife, Mr. Henry, but your wife, Mrs. Gray, not your wife.
The gender is female. Are you telling him you don't have his condition, do you?
No, I don't, but he confused me.
Oh, come on. So you're saying that you're backing up your mother-in-law. You're backing up your father-in-law.
Yeah, see, even you're confused.
No, I'm not confused. You're backing up your father-in-law and saying there's no point in divorcing him. They've been married a long time. It was a mistake.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I agree. I think it is. It's a gross mistake, an egregious thing to do. But nonetheless, I think that cooler heads can prevail. But I will tell you this. For this man, after 43 years to go out and sleep with prostitutes, one of whom is a male prostitute, shows a depravity and a degradation of morality which I dare say I've not seen in many a year.
All right, don't start doing that, okay?
Doing what?
You're going to start doing sloppy jaw, you know?
Yeah, you do sloppy jaw. I sound all dramatic.
Don't tell me how to speak and express something that I feel is very important. Now?
Yeah, okay, I recognize slop jaw because I recognize, you know, what that happened.
It is not slop jaw.
Well, I heard Mrs. Dorton, you know, when she's breathing into the phone, it's almost like she's got...
All right, hold on, everybody. I don't want to have this whole thing messed up with you going, you know?
What? Good God, what happened to you? You're almost like one of those kids sitting at a picnic bench in his own little orange vest so someone doesn't run him over even though he's 100 yards off a road.
In other words, I'm mentally disabled.
Yes.
I'm going to belt you. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue this discussion, this fantastic discussion here, concerning the Bozells, their marriage, and how it all relates to CK Corona Middle School, Erica Dorton, and all the other mouth breathers. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back after these very important and immortal announcements. Show here at philhenryshow.com and at a radio station or a radio nearest you as soon as, you know, we can. We're making strides, and we're making some good strides, and we appreciate all of the stations, all of our listeners, all of our sponsors, all of you for being with us. We have Steve Bozell from Corona, California, a construction contractor, a father, a husband. Margaret Gray is with us. We also had her husband Frank join us. A very bizarre tale of your mother and father-in-law getting divorced after 43 years after it was discovered your father-in-law had been frequenting prostitutes, as well, one of them being a man, and you argued to your wife that your in-law should not get divorced because it's been so long.
Well, yeah, it was 43 years of marriage, and I don't understand, you know, it's a bad thing when a man comes to a woman and says, I've got to tell you and confess to you at this time that I have had, you know, relationships. And what you want to do is get back to a normality of relating to your wife as quickly as very possible. I went to my wife and confessed to her that I had had abnormal relations with a woman.
Now, when we say abnormal...
What does that mean, abnormal relations?
Well, I mean, I had relations with a woman that was not my wife.
Okay, well, you call that abnormal.
That's not exactly abnormal.
Well, yes, it is. It's abnormal. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
All right.
I had abnormal. I understand it. I mean, I didn't ask her to do anything that she wouldn't have done. And I asked her to do some things, and I hope God will forgive me for those, and I asked my wife to forgive me, and you know.
What did you ask your wife? So you cheated on your wife as well?
Yes, I did, and I did at this time. We'll tell you that now at this time I have to tell you that I had an abnormality with a woman where we had sex in the wrong way, in the way that a man will have it with another man.
All right, Mr. Bozell, I understand.
So why did you have to tell your wife that?
I felt like I needed to tell April everything that happened. That was the only way I was going to clear my conscience.
You know, there's an old saying, let sleeping dogs lie. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell. What are you looking at?
What does that mean?
What's that mean, Mr. Henry?
Look at guys, don't give me the big oddball look. If you want to say something, say it.
Well, what does it mean?
It means, do you have to tell everybody the actual graphic truth? He told his wife that he was not faithful to her. Now you're getting around to telling her what kind of sex you had with the woman?
I would never. I mean, are you kidding me, Mr. Henry? Why wouldn't you? You want to be honest with her. You want to be honest with her. And the things that I did with this woman, I had to tell April because I felt like I had shamed her and I wanted to know how much I loved her and how much I wanted to purge myself of this. I told her all about it. I told her all about it, and thank God my wife took me back. She didn't take me back in the way that I hoped she would. We sleep in separate rooms, okay? A lot of people say that's not taking you back.
All right, so you told your wife every little detail.
Yes, I did, sir.
What else?
Oh, boy, get a load of you, so you want to know all the details, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, Phil, you know, you're beginning to betray your own lurid interest.
If the guy's telling me about how he had sex with another woman, quote, the way two men do, end quote, then why not tell us the rest?
All right, I will tell you. God forgive me, there was toilet behavior.
Oh, God.
What kind? Was it?
Shut up, bud.
I'll tell you.
Don't get that graphic, please, okay?
There was toilet, and we did toilet, and we did the way men do it.
Well, this is really adult, Phil. Are you proud of yourself?
Wait a minute. Whoa. Don't put this on me. You're not putting this on me, are you?
Well, you sort of brought it up.
Very adult, Phil. Toilet and the way...
Mr...
Oh, great. Now you're laughing at me. God. Go away. Go somewhere. Go somewhere where it's warmer.
He hung up on us, right?
Yeah. Well, are you going to blame him?
Yeah, I'm going to blame him. I'm going to blame you guys. I didn't bring any of this up.
You were the one that said if he's going to be graphic, then he might as well be graphic all the way.
I understand that. But because he talks like an idiot is not my fault. Okay?
Well, I mean, you ought to know the guy talks like a jackball. Because he's talking about a toilet and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is that this man's wife, not his wife, his parents, his in-laws, are getting divorced. He thinks they ought to stay together. And I guess they're not. And there was a betrayal there having to do with prostitution. The rest of that stuff, you know.
The rest of it, Phil, I think you have to put on yourself. And I'm shocked and stunned that I haven't heard one phone call yet from David G. Hall. Is that what I spoke too soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, David.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this. I got Daphne in the car. We got I thought I had to make your little jokes. We got a fresh box. What'd you get, honey?
I got a bear claw.
We got a box of bear claws. And before you make your jokes, bud, yes, she had a mouthful with donuts. With donuts, okay?
I didn't say anything.
No, but I know as soon as I hang the phone up, you and Leonard, the two of you guys will be going at it. Now, Phil, my question is this. I don't understand the whole exercise here. This guy has got a problem with the school. He's got a problem with the in-laws. He's got a problem with himself. Because now it turns out that this guy was also cheating on his wife, engaged in what he called toilet or toilet sex. What was the point of this hour of radio? Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. And it's a good question.
What was the point? You're always telling me you know what the point is. What was the point of that hour?
Well, the point originally...
Oh, originally. Not the point now.
Hold on, will you? The point originally was a, I thought, a very good point. When is a marriage worth saving? When is a marriage worth fighting over? Even after there has been a betrayal, even after there has been infidelity, are there not cases where a marriage is worth holding on to? Now I know there's religious.
I get it. Okay, so that's a good point. How come you didn't stick to it?
Because that all of a sudden out comes this stuff about Mrs. Dorton and C.K. Corona Middle School. I didn't know that stuff was going to be in there. I talked to this guy, and
you've had that nut on before. I've heard him before talking about how he, was in charge of taking the trash out on his street. I mean, this guy is all over the street, man. He's like dog crap. He's like dog crap after someone hits the brakes on it. It's all over the street.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, I was just trying.
All right. Thank you very much for your input, Stephen Bozell, and all others that join us this hour in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills is next. We'll be talking with Ted, his take on Syria, Putin. He's got a real thing. He's got a problem with Putin. A lot of people do. Let's hear what Ted has to say about Vladimir Putin, Russia, and their newfound strength and stamina against the U.S. in the Syria thing. You're listening to the world-famous, never-to-be-repeated Phil Henry Show. Never to be seen again, Phil Henry. I don't think so. I wouldn't.